I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It was coached well. You know, I think he was coached well to stay in the pocket. I think that he naturally keeps his eyes down the field and doesn't look at rush, which happens to a lot of young quarterbacks. So he's able to do that. Like I said, he had a lot of good skill around him. You know, Tank did a heck of a job when he was in there before he got injured. And then Collins is obviously one of the most explosive, best receivers in the league. Just about that.
That was Coach Fluse. The Fluse is loose on C.J. Stroud, saying basically what Jim Miller said, former Bears quarterback, last segment, actually. The preparation that C.J. Stroud had and the coaching that he had coming into the league, and then once he got to the league, elite. And that helped him really seamlessly transition the game. That week one that C.J. Stroud struggled in was actually against the Ravens. They got destroyed. And then week two was against the Colts. They got blown out in that one, but C.J. Stroud almost passed for, I think it was almost 400 yards passing. So we got our first flash and glimpse of what C.J. Stroud could be. And they lost that game to a divisional rival. And then after that, the Texans looked much, much better. But we've got Hubba Arkush on a little bit later. We're just waiting for him to join on. Chicago legend, 670 The Score, NFL insider. I want to get his thoughts on that matchup and really what he's looking for in terms of the keys of that game. So Trista Crick here, 312-644-6767. And we had someone call in earlier, and also Jim Miller talked about this. The quarterback comparison between Stroud and Caleb, just dreadfully unfair. And Caleb Williams steps in to this Bears team, and everybody wants and hopes him to become the boy wonder, which is C.J. Stroud. The number two pick who transformed the franchise in his first year, right? Worst to first in the division. Gives Lamar a run for his money in the playoffs after beating the Browns. And then eye test wise, C.J. is the guy that we all know that he's going to be, right? He's the franchise quarterback, and we kind of knew that instantaneously. But that's now the measuring stick for Caleb. That's the discourse. It's BS, but that's what a lot of fans are hoping for Caleb to be. And I guess we kind of have to address the elephant in the room. Like, Caleb week one was not what a lot of people thought he could be and what he should be. And I told everybody, temper your expectations of Caleb. This Bears offense might not be the 2023 Detroit Lions immediately. Do not expect him to light up the scoreboard right away. And he did not. 93 passing yards for the game. He looked uncomfortable at times, couldn't get anything offensively unless it was out of an empty set. And the man was running for his damn life. What do you expect, really? You know, what do you expect from a collapsing pocket? He's like, yo, put me in shotgun. Keep me away from these boys. I don't want to be around them. Like, I don't need a running back. Our running back room doesn't look good right now anyway. But the thing that a lot of people don't understand is that quarterbacks drafted number one overall almost never play well right away. In fact, before last week, number one quarterbacks were 0-14-1 since 2002 when David Carr won in his debut. That's crazy. Plus, Caleb's the first Bears rookie to win in a week one debut since 1950. That's crazy. So I think we should at least hang our hat on that for a minute. But the problem, I think, is that a lot of people are going to want to compare Caleb's rookie year to C.J. Stroud's rookie year, who, by the way, like I said, got his doors blown off week one by the Ravens. QBR 32.7. So like Jim Miller said last segment, C.J. Stroud's the outlier. C.J. Stroud is the anomaly. No rookie quarterback had a year like C.J. Stroud since Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott could have had the best rookie year in modern memory for a quarterback. 13-3, 24 TDs, 3 interceptions. Just ridiculous. So I think we kind of got to hit the pause button. I think we kind of have to hit the, like, do not panic button, whatever the reverse of the panic button is. Like, just chill. Chill button. I said this during training camp. I said this every time we go on the score. Listen, the number one thing is don't put your expectations, your fears, your hopes, your anxieties on Caleb Williams. That's not fair. Then you add in Hard Knocks. That did not help. Neither did the Bears going undefeated in the preseason. Oh, man. He's looking good. You're seeing all this excitement. You get the behind the scenes of it on Hard Knocks. And that fact, and now Caleb is one of the lowest rated quarterbacks in the NFL in week one. And then you juxtapose that with the fact that Jaden Daniels, number 2 overall pick, went 17 for 24, 184 yards, 88 rushing yards, and 2 TDs. And a lot of people are like, oh, what do we make of that? Who knows? Nick Shook of NFL.com famously ranks every starting quarterback in the NFL every week. Caleb was ranked 29th behind Justin Fields, rough, and Deshaun Watson, 28th. But before we go to some callers, let's discuss things that we should give Caleb Williams his props about. Because, yes, statistically, if you look at his numbers, probably lackluster. But besides the fact that he got the dub, because that's the number one thing, he had 5 passing first downs. So he was able to move the chains at times. Did not throw an interception. In fact, did not turn the ball over at all. Huge for a rookie quarterback. No turnovers. He did fumble once, recovered it, but still. Under pressure, our man was under pressure the entire game and only took 2 sacks. Surprising and impressive, considering that I was just telling you C.J. Stroud in his first game took 5 sacks, and then in his second game took 6 sacks. Another thing I think that we kind of have to give Caleb Williams his props for. He's spreading the sugar, baby. 7 different receivers caught balls. He fed the main guys. DJ Moore, Allen, Rome, all had 23 combined targets. And by the way, Keenan Allen, I don't have time to be talking about Keenan Allen right now. I really don't. We got a lot to get to. This is like, we're behind already of all the things we have to get to. Segments are going to get missed. But I need to say, like, people are calling, I think Hub had somebody on his show earlier this week that's calling Keenan Allen a grifter. A grifter.
Come on, man. It's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, my God. Keenan Allen came to camp overweight. Keenan Allen is, he was, he. I think he's 240. Keenan Allen's got a little chub of love that he needs to work off. And on top of that, Keenan Allen is now a secret food tester, like restaurant reviewer for Bon Appetit or James Beard. I forget who it is. But we can't have that. I can't have the surest-handed, one of the best route runners in the league just dropping TD balls. We can't. Like, you're not doing your mans any favors. Anyway, back to Caleb. Didn't try to scramble and be a hero. I think that's really important, too. There's so many times I see quarterbacks. They're trying to be the hero. They're trying to do way too much. They're scrambling. They get concussed. They turn the ball over. What do we see from Will Levis, who's not even a rookie? The man was on his knees, pause, throwing the ball to the other guy. And we see a lot of quarterbacks down 17 try to eat the whole elephant in the first bite, pause. And he did not do that. And on top of that, if you want to talk about everybody in the league quarterback-wise, and I'm not even like trying to, you know, pump Caleb's tires. I'm just putting it all in the perspective that all the quarterbacks pretty much look bad. We're not playing August football anymore, right? Can you imagine waking up on Monday morning this week being a fan of the Falcons after you just paid Kirk Cousins off an Achilles all that money? Can you imagine being a Giants fan who owes Daniel Jones $40 million, and the only thing attractive about Daniel Jones is his beard? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being a Steelers fan and you have to win games exclusively with your defense for the last, I don't know, I mean, 15, 20 years? Can you imagine being a fan of the Browns and you see a tweet that Deshaun Watson is facing another allegation and he has like a 16 quarterback ranking? What are we doing here? Tennessee! Can you imagine being like, your quarterback is Will Levis and you have no other option? You had to get rid of Malik Willis. He was the other guy and he's gone now? Gross. So I feel like, I mean, we had our best quarterback in week one was Baker Mayfield, and that guy we thought was a bust. And he was kicked around like a bad can of beans from team to team to team, and he finds his like love, that his Mike Evans, his Chris Godwin, his David Kanellis, and now a new OC.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's now working out for him. But when Baker Mayfield's the only quarterback really balling, CJ Stroud was awesome. But most of the quarterbacks were struggling. I have Pat Mahomes in a fantasy league. He had 12 fantasy points, one TD for the best quarterback we've ever seen in our life. So the best thing about what Caleb didn't do is he did not cost them the game. There were no self-inflicted wounds. And what we should really be talking about besides Caleb Williams is that O-line and DeAndre Swift. There's nobody. DeAndre Swift was more featured in Hard Knocks, which was not at all, than he was in week one. Where is he? What is happening with him? That offensive line was crumbling around him. They had four different running backs getting snaps. Why? DeAndre Swift in Detroit was their lead back. What is going on?
Well, it's crazy, too. Like, you saw, like, Kari Blassingame, the Bears fullback, who they cut and then brought back during camp, was the main guy on passing situations because, like, they couldn't keep Swift in there to block, and Khalil Herbert's terrible at it. So it's like they're just telegraphing their plays there.
Yeah, and if you telegraph with the rookie, you're pretty much dead. You're cooked. You're on the hibachi. You're skewered. It's a wrap for you. And, like, I do wonder, and I know the amount of money is important to note, but I do wonder what this team would be like with Saquon Barkley on it. Like, I wonder, you a power back, which this team does not currently employ, and how important that could be for a safety valve, not only in the passing game, but to establish the run, because DeAndre Swift had 10 carries for 30 yards, including a 20-yard run. Nine of his carries, he averaged 1 yard per carry. So team as a whole, 82 yards in total. Velus Jones came in and he fumbled. Khalil Herbert, 2 rushes for 4 yards. So I think it's unfair to come in and expect and hope that Caleb Williams is doing what CJ Stroud does. Because Tank was a rookie and he was an anomaly as well, right? You've got Nico, who's a very talented receiver. He's coming off of an injury, but he's been in that system. You have good tight end play. Your defense comes in and shows out. And again, like Jim Miller, former Bears quarterback, said, CJ's the anomaly, not the rule, right? And he had one of the best rookie seasons in all of league history. 4,100 yards, 23 TDs, 5 interceptions, 100 passing rating. And then on top of that, like I said, the best touchdown to interception ratio since the start of the 2023 season, and that was the top in the NFL. So we've got some folks on the call line. Let's go to Terry out in Wisconsin. What's up, Terry?
Hi. Born in Chicago, longtime Bears fan, now a Bears fan up in Wisconsin. I just have some observations about the quarterback over the years. I felt like Trubisky was tried to put a square peg in a round hole and tried to have too much control over what he could do and what his abilities were. and didn't let Trubisky beat Trubisky. And in that respect, with Caleb, I think that they should let Caleb be like Caleb and let loose of the reins a little bit. And I think he got a rude awakening. Like you said, they were playing preseason ball and he was playing against some second stringers and some guys that weren't running too hard. And now he understands that there's guys that are over 300 pounds that can run as fast as he can. So my advice to Caleb would be patience and learn to play with the line and let them know where you're at and be able to do that and not go for the big play all the way downfield. Like you said, he did drive the team a little bit, but I see a lot of mistakes with young quarterbacks that they try and go to the short pass too often and to the long pass too often instead of just trying to work with what he's got.
What grade would you have given Caleb for week one?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not in his position. I don't know what his situation is, how he was trained. I really don't have an opinion on that.
Middleman Terry from Wisconsin. Thanks for your call, sir. Yeah, I think if we're going to get Caleb Williams to maximize his potential, putting too much on his plate, not putting him in a situation to succeed, how many bad offensive lines have killed quarterbacks' careers that we had high hopes for? That's the main issue that I feel is needs to get cleaned up right now, is just making sure to protect him so that he doesn't develop either a history of injuries or bad habits. Really, like, both of those things happen when you're a quarterback that's under duress, and he will be under duress against the Houston Texans. Now let's go to Josh in Joliet. What's up, Josh?
Hello there. Hey, this shout-out is for Dan Bernstein. I don't know if you heard.
Here we go. We might not need to go to Joliet anymore, huh? Like, Sean?
Yeah, apparently not, huh? We can maybe avoid the area.
Yeah. My former co-host, Ryan Horvath, from Joliet, so I've got a soft spot in my heart for them.
We love Ryan Horvath over here, too.
Great guy. Good dude. We were just talking about Dave Matthews. We were talking about Dave Matthews Band last night. He's like a guy that goes from Dave Matthews Band concert to Dave Matthews Band concert. Anyway, thanks to Josh and Terry for their calls. But yeah, next segment, we've got a great show coming up. And I've got some predictions. I want to hear your predictions, though, as well for the game. I think it's going to be a rout. I'm not going to lie to you. I think this game's going to get ugly. And I don't mean that in any derogatory way. I don't mean that as an indictment on the Bears. I mean that the Texans are a team that I've placed a bet on to go to the Super Bowl. That's really it. I mean, you're talking about Sunday Night Football, rookie quarterback, under the bright lights, on the road, bad offensive line, against a good defensive line. And that's pretty much the long and the short of it. I will go deeper into it next segment. By the way, if you haven't found John Gruden on YouTube and his breakdowns of games, go to it. It's electric. 312-644-6767. What are the keys to the game? What are our predictions? We'll also get into some best bets at 1240 as well. I've got some thoughts in terms of player props to stay away from, as well as some players to target as well. We'll be back in a jiffy. It's Trista Crick here on The Score.
And now, Score senior football analyst Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yes, join us on The Score Hotline, driven by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You know you're a BFD when you have your own drop as a guest. We now welcome Hub Arkish, NFL insider for The Score. What's up, Hub?
How you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I am doing good, thank you.
So we're talking to Jim Miller earlier in the show, former Bears quarterback, just about the expectations of Bears fans. And the expectations, obviously, prior to week one were sky high. And going into the Sunday Night Football game, C.J. Stroud versus Caleb Williams is kind of the narrative, and there's a lot of fans that want Caleb to be C.J. What was your takeaway from week one, and what do you think of that expectation that they should be compared to one another?
Well, my takeaway from week one is that, obviously they didn't play very well, period, early. The defense came on well, had a really good second half. It's going to be one of the top five, top 10 defenses in the league this year. We already know that, or at least it should be based on the talent and the way they finished last year. We thought that the offense had been upgraded substantially, and they had a terrible game last week. Now, I think you have to be careful, though, because we know the first couple weeks of the season are that's where you're learning about these teams. That's where they're developing. That's where they're learning about it. And so you can't try and spin it as anything but a bad week last week, but I also wouldn't overreact to it. And I have this one theory I've mentioned a couple times this week. I'm not sure that Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron used the whole new offense last week. I think they thought they could beat the Titans the way they did. I don't think they thought it was a gimme, but I think they wanted to try and, keep Caleb comfortable. I think they wanted to give him a little bit less week one. I think they wanted to show a little bit less week one. And I think you're going to see him with more options this week. Now, if he plays exactly like he did last week, then you probably start to worry a little bit. But so far, it's too early to make too much of it. They got to win. That's at the end of the day. And that's the exact opposite of how last year started. So that's good.
A dub is definitely important. Absolutely. From what you saw, what's your biggest concern in terms of the offense? Is it the running game and what we saw there? Is it the O-line? Is it just the scheme?
Well, I think right now it has to be the O-line, not because it's the worst group on offense, but just because of the offseason they've had, the various players who've missed time with minor injuries, the additions they've made, the continued, just uncertainty, really, about what's going on at guard in particular. Nate Davis last year was one of their biggest free agent signings, and it's been kind of a problem ever since he got here. Now, I don't want to be negative on him. I know he had family problems. I know he had health issues, and I'm not really sure. I know he's had some injury questions earlier, or I should say during the off season. But I'm not sure what they've got in Nate Davis. Now, Flus did say on Friday, no, Nate's fine. He's the starter. He's going this Sunday. We're hoping that he will be good to go. But that's really the biggest question right now is, can they get healthy with their two new centers, and which one's going to be the new starter? And then can Davis, get set at guard? The other three positions, I think they're okay. They didn't play great last week either, but, they have to play well as a group. And they're just not settled as a group yet with the changes they've made during the off season. So I think that has to be the biggest concern coming out of week one.
Yeah. That interior line was collapsing around Caleb pretty much the entire game. DeAndre Swift looked abysmal. Is that a product of the line, or is that a product of the type of back that DeAndre Swift is right now?
Well, it's certainly connected to the line, because when the line is not playing well, your running backs probably aren't going to play very well. But the other thing is, I don't understand how they're using their running backs. I don't understand how they've got the depth chart at running back. I don't understand, who they want. Obviously, DeAndre Swift was signed to be the number one back and to be better in the receiving game, to be a better blocker. But, they didn't really use him as a number one back. And I'm not sure they have a number two or a number three right now. They're just moving these guys around. I think, at the end of the day, you got to look at this football team and go with what you know. And what you know, I think Khalil Herbert is probably the best pure runner of the running backs on this roster. And I was a little surprised when they paid what they paid for Swift. And now when I see, Roschon Johnson and Travis Homer getting time ahead of Herbert, I just wonder, what their feeling is about Herbert. But we will see, I think, probably more of him carrying the ball tomorrow night. And, I think you'll see them use Swift a lot more like a number one running back as opposed to a number one or number two or number three weapon.
Yeah, that's a good point. You mentioned that the Bears defensively probably going to be a top five defense in this league and certainly look like nasty on all fronts in the defense against the Titans. There's the Steelers. They've won a lot of games from their defense alone. Last year, the Raiders and Max Crosby won a lot of games on their defense alone. How many games do you think the Bears can win off their defense alone?
Well, you have to look at the schedule. You have to look at, who they're playing, and you have to realize that the quality of those teams is going to adjust you know, significantly over the next couple of weeks. But at the end of the day, you know, when I see the offenses they're going to have to face this year, you know, they'll face some good offenses, but it's not an impossible schedule for them. And so based on the improvement they made second half last year, the talent they've added, particularly their talent in the secondary, which is what I find the most impressive, you know, I think they're already, you know, certainly a top 10, if not a top five defense. And because they're, you know, more young and middle age, they're going to develop these first few weeks. So I do think off what we've seen really last season, but certainly, again, adding this offseason so far, it is going to be, you know, a top five defense, and it should deliver, you know, probably four or five wins. They've already delivered one. You know, and you look at the teams that they're playing, and they're teams that you can beat without, you know, having a really great offense.
That's good stuff. Hubbard Cushier, 670 The Score NFL analyst. You said on your Pro Football Weekly podcast, Coach Wanstead said that, you know, a team has to decide what kind of quarterback that they want, whether they want a pocket passer, whether they want a mobile scrambling type quarterback. And Caleb last week wasn't great when he lined up under center. And in fact, under pressure at USC under center, he wasn't really great either. Only real success came with an empty backfield and in shotgun. For you, when you look at Caleb, circling back to him, do you see him developing into a true pocket passer, or do you see Caleb as a guy that's going to operate mostly out of shotgun?
Well, I mean, he's not a great running quarterback. He's not a bad one, but he's not a great one. And so, you know, and certainly your franchise quarterbacks are all pocket passers. And so it's something you have to learn to be a franchise quarterback in the NFL. I think what's important about Caleb right now is you look at the talent, you look at the physical skills. And when I evaluate talent, I'm talking about, you know, the mental talent as much as the physical skills. And he's got it all. He can be either in the NFL that you want, but what you want from your franchise quarterback is a pocket passer. And so, you know, the fact that that wasn't his focus in college isn't really that critical. If you've studied him and decided that you think he has those abilities, and every expert that I've talked to, every one of my sources tells me that not only does he have those abilities, but he's one of the best with those abilities to come out of college in the last few years. And so I think that the reason that they kept that pick and took him is because they think he will be a franchise quarterback. They think he can be a pocket passer. But now we've got to get to know Shane Waldron's offense, you know, and what he is going to, what he likes to do the most. And as he, you know, develops everything, the offensive line with them, gets these three wide receivers, you know, first of all, healthy, and then knows how you're going to spread the ball around to them. There's so much more to learn. But I think that there has been, not a lot, and I'm glad, but some negative reaction to Caleb Williams from last week. And it's understandable with those poor numbers. But anything, you know, negative at all is really an overreaction. We saw it last year. It's going to take these first 4 or 5 weeks for us to get a better understanding of where this team is at right now.
Yeah, and we saw that with Jordan Love as well last year. When he came in, it looked rough for a while, and then we saw what he ended up doing closer to the end of the year. Speaking of the NFC North as a whole, you were 50-50 for the Bears to make the playoffs, and the Vikings look actually pretty good. Vikings might not lose Jordan Love for as long as I think people initially thought. Lions obviously still very legit. Where are you at on the Bears to make the playoffs now? Are you still 50-50? Are you more optimistic, less optimistic?
Well, first of all, one other real quick point on Jordan Love. Don't forget, last year was his third year in the league. I mean, you know, this is Caleb Williams' first day in the league last week. So, you know, keep that in mind as we develop him. Now, going forward, you know, I thought going into last week that they were a little better than 50-50 to make the playoffs. As a matter of fact, I probably had them as high as 65-70% to make the playoffs. After what we saw from that offense, you know, last week, I need to just take a week off now and see what we're going to see this week. But, yeah, I still think, based on the talent in their division, based on how the NFC lines up, I think that they can be a playoff team. They're not a playoff team yet. They need a few weeks more to prove that they are that team, that they can play like that every week. But they showed enough late last year to show that the talent is there. They've added that much more talent. So, yeah, I do think they're better than 50-50. I think they've got a better than 50-50 shot at being a playoff team this year. But we need at least one more week, you know, a couple weeks to credit them any more than that from that offense to know what that offense is going to deliver.
Yeah, and the schedule toughens up for the Vikings as well. Everybody that I talk to has the Texans beating the Bears on Sunday Night Football. The trends around that says that's the case. Obviously, the matchup is really, really tough, considering that offensive line is not just dinged, but has some work to do just in terms of solidifying that front. And the Texans' defensive line is nasty. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, they've got an elite back line as well. For you, what's the way that the Bears stay competitive in this game or could try and pull off an upset if you think that's possible?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I think the Texans are just a little bit overrated. It was such a massive improvement last year, going from 3-14 to 10-7. And then, you know, the great performance in that first playoff game and winning, you know, they're a legit playoff team. There's no question about that. And I'll give you the first part you asked last, or first, I should say, the last part you asked first. But going off what I saw from the offense last week, I don't know how you pick the Bears to win tomorrow night. I pick the Bears to play very well. I think they're going to impress you. But you know, right now the Texans are the better team, and so you have to pick them to win. That said, how do the Bears do it? They've got to run the football. They've got to get that offensive line more stable. They've got to run the football. That will take the most pressure off of Caleb Williams. And then, you know, how many of those wide receivers is he going to have? We're hearing today that now there seems to be a fairly decent chance that maybe the rookie plays, you know, although I wouldn't rush him out there and take any chances, you know, but, you know, it looked like he was down for a couple weeks earlier in the week, and now it looks like Rome Odunze could go. Keenan Allen didn't practice all week, so I don't know how he's going to go without those two to pick the Bears for an upset and rely completely on the defense in the running game. I think that's a little too much to ask this early.
Yeah, that's a really good point, specifically considering Keenan Allen dinged, but also a little overweight coming into training camp. Before I let you run, just a quick follow-up. Like, what's your assessment on what we're seeing from Keenan Allen? Like, I think he came into camp at 240. He's the Bon Appetit secret food reviewer. I know there's probably not much to do about that, but do we have a little bit of a Keenan Allen adjustment process to expect?
Well, I'm not sure what's been expected of Keenan Allen so far. I've wondered about. I thought it was a great ad, you know, and we knew before they had Odunze, but we also knew he was going to turn 32 years old, and that's just old in the NFL these days. You know, a wide receiver, some of them still have their best years with a couple years left, and he could too. And I wouldn't worry about it. But this foot injury has been lagging, you know, for really a month now since the beginning of training camp. And so until you get him healthy, we don't really know. And I don't think his foot had anything to do with that touchdown pass he dropped last week. And that was not like Keenan Allen. So it is possible, you know, that he has stepped or is stepping over the hill and that maybe he's not going to be the player they thought they were getting, but we haven't seen anything yet to suggest that because of the injury. So, you know, I think until they tell us he's 100% healthy and ready to go, I want to be careful on evaluating him. And I'll be very, I'm very curious to see if he's going to play tomorrow because, Flus yesterday made it sound like he thought it was, he didn't use 50-50, but the way he was talking, I thought it sounded like 50-50. And for a guy who didn't practice all week, that's a little surprising. So it's going to be really interesting, particularly with these wide receivers, to see, you know, how they use them, if at all, tomorrow.
Good stuff. Big thanks to Hub, our 670 The Score NFL insider. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Talk to you again soon. Take care.
Talk to you soon. Yeah, give us a call, 312-644-6767. The Texans are a little overrated? Whoa! Did anybody catch that? The Texans are a little overrated. And there are people who are expecting the Texans to have some regression. I am not personally one of them, especially considering that my biggest fear for the Texans was the running game, because Joe Mixon at times for the Bengals looked washed. And then he just decides to carry the ball 30 times, an NFL most for week one, and what was it, like 159 rushing yards? Jesus. Anyway, good stuff from Hubbar Kush. If you missed the full interview, go back and listen. He had so many good nuggets. We'll definitely talk about more of those soon, but we got to pay some bills, Sean. So Trista Crick here up on The Score. We'll be back right after break. 312-644-6767.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app. Stonehouse with Usher, a block! It's scooped up by the back!
back the other way. Jonathan Owens, touchdown Chicago.
It didn't feel like real life because of how easy it felt. The ball's just sitting there, pops in my hand. You know, you don't hear the crowd or anything because you're locked in.
Because you heard the football getting blocked. That's the first time.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard it. I seen it. And like I said, the ball actually hit Hardy's foot and like bounced over to the right side where I was. And that was how it ended up being right there. And literally two of my teammates are right there. It was looking like I stole it from them.
That was Mr. Simone Biles, a.k.a. Jonathan Owens. Talking about the scoop and score, and then him deciding to just go to the house with Paul Papps from earlier today. Love Jonathan Owens. Love the fact that he considers himself to be the catch in the relationship, and that he did not say he knew who Simone Biles was when they met on Bumble or Hinge. That's crazy, by the way. Like, that's crazy. The fact that you've got Simone Biles on Bumble? Yo. Dude,
insane pull, right?
Insane pull. We'll talk to that about Sean Salisbury. He has a segment, Who Pulls More, on his show in Houston. We should definitely ask him who pulls more.
Yeah, we got to bring it up, man.
Biles or Jonathan Owens. Good stuff from Jonathan Owens. The defense came to play against the Titans. They found out sometime within the second half, hey, we're playing against Will Levis. This guy stinks. Like, we can F him up. So Trista Crick here on The Score. We got to get to a quick promo here. Before Chicago takes on Houston, tune in tomorrow evening from 5:30 to 7:20 after the Cubs game for your local Ford dealers pregame show. Oh yeah, baby, right here on The Score. Presented by Aurelio's, John Mulley, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley as they get you set for the game. Then following the game, Mark Grody. Woo! He will join Olin and Manley with instant reaction on the Great Clips post-game show presented by Wonderverse. All of it can be heard, of course, on The Score and also on the Odyssey app. So, prediction time. I'm not always the best predictor of the future, but I think this one is pretty set. I think this one's pretty lock, stock, and barrel. My survivor pick is the Texans. And the Texans' schedule moving forward gets more difficult, and I have no interest in taking them. So this is the one. And the more I think about this game, and I want to hear from you guys what your predictions of the game are, the matchup is just terrible for the Bears. You're talking about an O-line for the Bears that is leaky, super leaky, and dinged, and hasn't really figured out how to play together. What's going on with Nate Davis? Eberflus is signaling he might lose his damn job, and now he's the starter. We got one guy not going to play this next week who took all his snaps from him. So Nate Davis, by the way, better offensive lineman. The interior was tough. Caleb was under duress pretty much the entire game. So we know that, right? So we know already, no matter who they're playing against, that's an issue. That's the issue. They can't get the running game going, and they can't protect Caleb Williams. All his success came from empty sets. All right. And now you face the Houston Texans with a monster D-line. Monster. You've got Danielle Hunter there. You've got Will Anderson there. And so you know that that's coming for you, that's going to send any offensive line into a tizzy. So can the Chicago defense win the game by themselves? I don't know that they can. I don't know that anyone, any defense, the Ravens were a top defense in the league last year, and they could not stop C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud still got busy. You have the Titans that were able to rip off runs. Tony Pollard looked really good, ripped up this D in week one, and now you face Joe Mixon, who nearly had 200 yards of total offense last week. So I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned that the defense, no matter how good they are, aren't going to be able to stop Houston from putting 30 on your dome piece. 30. That's what I imagine. If you can get them to score 21 or less, that's a win. That is an absolute win. And anything is possible if you can get them in the 21 to 24 point range. Now, the key is how much pressure you're getting on Stroud. Now, C.J. Stroud, elite passer in the pocket. in a clean pocket, really good. But does turn the ball over at the lowest rate in the NFL. And even with pressure, I'm not so sure you're going to get him to turn the ball over. So you've got an offense that's almost incontainable in the Houston Texans, with a defense that's one of the nastiest at generating pressure on a rookie quarterback on Sunday Night Football on the road. And not only are you going up against a really good defensive line and a really good team that was a playoff team last year, you now have the narrative and the storylines that Caleb has to be CJ Stroud. And the Bears don't win Sunday Night Football games. Not only are the Bears losing this game, they're getting destroyed. That's probably, that's my prediction. That's not what I want to see. That's what I think will happen. I think this is a 27-10 game. That's kind of what I imagine. The line is 7, 6.5, depending on the sports book. I would love the defense to make me look silly. I would love CJ Stroud. And now we'll talk about bets later on in the show. One of my favorites that I'll tease right now is CJ Stroud under passing yards. I don't think he's going to go for 270 passing yards against this defense. But I still think they're going to be effective. I think this could be a game that makes fans panic. And I'm going to tell you right now, this has all the makings of a rout. And you shouldn't be worried if that's the case. Because that's what the matchup says. Your DeAndre Swift was nowhere to be found. The way that they're using their running backs, Hubbard Cush even mentioned that last segment, doesn't make any sense. Four of them, what's the rotation? Who even knows? When are they getting into the game? DeAndre Swift's not coming in known running down or in known passing downs because he can't block. So that's an issue. Keenan Allen, injured. Rome, injured. So if it's DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and a struggling offensive line and a rookie quarterback under the bright lights of NBC and Sunday Night Football, baby, just know this might be night-night sleep mask going to bed in the third quarter. We saw what happened with the Thursday Night Football with the Miami Dolphins prior to the Tua injury. When your defense can't stop anyone and your offense can't get going, it's a rough showing. That's just what I think. I'd love to hear from you guys. Give me a call, 312-644-6767. We've got Sean Salisbury on next, by the way. Enemy Intel segment. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to talk to him because he's not only wildly entertaining, but a former quarterback himself for the Oilers. He had some good things to say about not only the position as it relates to Tua, but I want to get his perspective on this quarterback comparison that everyone just keeps going and making between CJ Stroud and Caleb. I think it's unfair. But we do have to pay some bills, don't we? We will come back at the top of the hour with former Oilers quarterback Sean Salisbury to break down the Texans and that side of the game right after this.
Get your track shoes on because we're running.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.